everybody, and welcome to Rawford Scotland's interview today with Elwyn Robson. Elwyn is the mastermind behind the Lionheart Herbs website, where you can buy an array of fantastic herbal and Taoist herbal teas, as well as superfood mixes, which I've blogged about before, and a whole array of other fantastic things. Today we're going to talk to Elwyn a little bit about his new easy exhaustion cure. So welcome, Elwyn, to the call. Hello.
Thank you so much for having me here, Emma. It's a real pleasure to speak with you.
Yeah, how are you doing today?
Excellent, thank you. It was a little bit out of sorts today because I literally had so much to do, but actually following a couple of the techniques from the program and the combination of talking to your lovely self for a few minutes before we started this interview has just brought me totally back into my flow. So thank you so much.
So I already know a little bit about you, Elwyn, but why don't you tell everybody that's listening today just a little bit about your history and how you got into doing what it is that you do?
Great question. So for me, exhaustion has always been like a standard way of living life, and it was kind of normal. My dad actually had chronic fatigue and ME for many years, and he was pretty much incapacitated. And my mother had cancer many times in her life before she did finally die 5 years ago, and she was always kind of sickly and low in energy as well. So it really was like a normal thing in our house that, you know, nothing really got done. Everyone was like, I can't be bothered, you know. Everyone was kind of like struggling for energy. So throughout my childhood, I lived in a state of, I would say, profound energy poverty. You know, really feeling there was never enough to go around. That was the one resource which is the most rare and precious. And those people who you met who just did seem to be positive and enthusiastic and radiant and bursting of energy, they wouldn't really be role models. They'd just more be like freaks, you know. Get away from me. What's wrong with you, you know? Yeah. Don't you realize what a miserable place the world is? So that's kind of where I came from. And when I was in my teens, like a lot of people, I discovered stimulants. But unlike a lot of people, I think I just went overboard with it and went, you know, ridiculous with it. When I discovered stimulants, like coffee was one for me, and tobacco, and then also cannabis a bit later as well, I just thought, oh my God. And I actually had energy for the first time in my life.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, this is what it feels like to have energy.
Yeah.
This is what other people are like. Great. And I guess I always had some idea in my head that with something like, say, coffee, it was giving me energy. Mm. And then also in some nebulous way, it was bad for me. But I never really understood why.
Mm.
And, of course, now I understand the reason why something like coffee gives you energy, give being an inverted comma, is because it's actually draining you of energy. And while that energy is leaving your body, you get a temporary kind of rush. You'd get a high, which we call like an adrenal high. But really, I was draining myself more and more. And this carried on, you know, while I was having a very busy, stressful job. And people, ironically, people who are low in energy tend to stress themselves out massively because it's a way of getting their adrenals to secrete a little bit more energy. And so I was basically drained myself dry of energy by my mid-20s. To the point that, like, when I was at the age of 26, I was just utterly dead. I looked like almost a zombie-like. And I remember when I went to see an acupuncturist, which was one of the turning points in my health, and she said, I've never seen someone of your age with kidneys that depleted.
Oh, really?
Because your kidneys are where your body restores your reserve energy. So I was in a really bad way, but not anything that any medical doctor recognized. And I think this is one of the important points to remember as well. I mean, I was signed off from work for anxiety for almost a year at one point, and I signed off from work for stress, but they, you know, to them that meant nothing. They had absolutely no advice either on how to deal with it. So I really had to discover it for myself. And what I discovered is that the Western approach for detoxification and cleansing and raw food and nutrition, all that, had a certain amount of benefit, but it really wasn't doing it. And I also, then I discovered the Eastern approach, and they talk a lot about building up your energies with like herbs and acupuncture, and that was definitely better. That actually made a difference. But that on its own really wasn't doing it either. And so the process that I then went through is to really, you know, understand combining all those ancient techniques like the kind that the Chinese doctors were recommending, along with all the modern kind of cutting edge techniques, which nutritional experts and you know, detox experts and all those kind of people in the Western world were recommending, and actually combining the two to get to a point where my energy was actually high. And I'd say now I'm probably one of the most high energy people who I've met. So it worked, you know. I went from rock bottom to kind of being able to take off, and every facet of my life changed as a result. You know, I went from being kind of like a victim in a lot of ways, you know, and feeling very hard done by, and kind of, because when your energy is low, everything is kind of bad because you feel like you don't have it in you to do what needs to be done. So, you know, you lose your integrity because you feel like you're dependent on other people, and because you can't keep your word about what you're going to do, and you feel like you haven't got the energy to make connections with people, you haven't got the energy to try and do anything other than the bare minimum, you know, everything really suffers.
You're vibrating at a really low level and then attracting that back into your life circumstances as well.
Exactly right, exactly. And when I look back at it now, I'd say I spend most of my early life in a perceptual hell. I know that sounds very melodramatic, but that's kind of, that's what it was. That's what it felt like. And in comparison, now I live in a kind of realm, which I know that my friend Shazzy refers to as ecstatic.
Yeah.
I remember even a couple of years ago, she described it as heckled her, but I said to her, you know, during her book launch for Ecstatic Beings, is it actually possible to be ecstatic all the time? Because I was quite cynical about it. But, and we talked about it again only recently, and I was like, yeah, okay, I believe you now, it really is, you know.
Yeah.
So that's great. And the next thing after that, I guess, is I started working with a lot of clients and helping them, and I realized almost everyone who came to me was exhausted. They didn't come to me because they were exhausted. They came to me with symptoms like I've got a skin rash, or I think I've got candida, or I need to detoxify, or I want to sort out my diet, all these kind of things. But actually what was really going on is that they were depleted in reserve energy. And I realized that a lot of these people as well, they've been detoxing for years, or eating raw food for years, or, you know, doing all the stuff which you're meant to do and not getting much better. Because they weren't dealing with the root issue. The root issue is this lack of reserve energy. So then I decided that, you know, there's only so many clients I can see in a day. Let's create a program which talks you through step by step everything you need to do to build up that reserve energy. And I guess that kind of gets us to where we are right now.
Yeah. Well, just to backtrack a little bit then.
Please.
How long did it take you personally? You said when you started looking into all this and you found out about it all, to regain your health from where you were before?
I'd say about, to regain my health, I'd say it's about a year and a half to 2 years.
Right.
To get to feeling like optimal, probably more like 3.5 years.
Really?
Yeah, so something like that. But of course, that's because I had to make it up from scratch.
Yeah.
I had to literally work it out as I went along, make loads of mistakes, you know, do loads of things which actually put me back. Like, for instance, you know, I had blood sugar imbalances, like hypoglycemia, so I came across this thing about eating protein every 2 or 3 hours. You know, Jesus, what a bad idea that is, because it pretty much destroys the kidneys to have any protein, especially animal protein, that often. You know, so just that probably set me back at least 6 months. So now, but that's helpful in the sense that it helped me to understand that's a really bad idea.
Yeah, it's a process of trial and error, isn't it? I mean, I would say even now, for me, being 4 years down the line with raw food, there's still a lot of things that I'm learning about what works for me and what doesn't.
Mm.
And that sounds so ridiculous because you really are only dealing with a minimal amount of different food types. But, you know, it still all has an effect on you and the way you do it and how you do it and when you do it and, you know, how much you do it and all this kind of thing. But, yeah, I'm still learning about what works for me. And I think that it's an ongoing process for quite a lot of people.
Of course, it's an unfolding process. And it is for me too. And that's partly because we change. You know, the true healing is going to profoundly shift our biochemistry, right? Our neurotransmitters are going to change, our hormonal levels are going to change, our metabolic type will change, you know? So maybe we go from someone who at one point needed lots of fats to burn as fuel, but then we realize we need more carbohydrate, or we might be someone who used a lot of protein, but then we realize we need more fat, or whatever it might be, you know? All this kind of stuff, we're definitely all still learning. So I'd say the key is more, let's get that energy high, because when the energy's high, we can start to listen to our intuition, like it sounds like you're doing now, Emma.
Yeah, but well, when you're not feeling good, then it's much harder to hear what it is that your body's trying to tell you about what's not working, because it just feels like nothing's working, because you're just in such a low state.
Exactly. And even worse, your body actually sends you messages which are just plain wrong. You know, it might say, you know, I need sugar. That's what an unhealthy body tells you when you're low in energy. Yeah. But that's exactly the wrong message. That's exactly the one that we shouldn't listen to. So I like to say, like in my, I have clients, I do consultations. I like to say in my practice with people, the point of me as a kind of health expert is to get you to the point where you don't need a health expert. Yeah. You know, where you can listen to your own body. But listening to your body, if it's very depleted in energy, is dangerous because it will tell you, give me sugar and give me drugs and leave me alone. I want to watch TV.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, me
so,
too.
Sorry, going back to what you're saying then, you got to the stage where you realised that you couldn't just give consultations to everybody, so you wanted to put together a programme that, I mean, would you say that it's a sort of one-size-fits-all approach, that there's something in there that's going to be guaranteed to help you no matter what kind of issue you're dealing with?
Definitely. I know that's a big, bold claim, but it's quite a comprehensive program. It's got a lot of different steps in there. I've also graded it in terms of there's like gold level stuff, silver level stuff, and bronze level stuff. So like the gold level stuff is the stuff that you really must do.
Right.
And the silver level stuff is the stuff that's really ideally you would do. And then the bronze level stuff is the one that you can kind of choose.
Right.
I've been very specific about recommending. So there's recommendations about things to do and things not to do, as in all kind of programs of health. And all the don't do it recommendations are all bronze level. So what I mean by that is for all the things not to do is normally what people focus on. And yet that's actually the least helpful thing to do, because if you're already low on energy, so the type of energy I'm talking about that we want to get is like reserve energy or adaptive energy. It's a certain type of energy. And if we're already low in that energy, then changing on our habits to stop doing something that we're kind of compelled or addicted to do is pretty much impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So to use the raw food example, you know, we found out about the one that's a raw food and go, oh, wow, sounds amazing, yeah. And then we try and not eat cooked foods.
Mm-hmm.
We won't be able to do it because we don't have enough energy to make a change in our habits.
Yeah.
So I like to not focus on what not to do. But bearing that in mind, yeah, it really is pretty simple, and it's like clockwork, that if someone just adds a certain amount of steps into their lives, which are covered in the program, then they're guaranteed to have a significant increase in energy. Now, is that the whole story? Definitely not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the first step. It's like the foundation is the same for everyone, but then from the foundation, it changes,
right,
depending on where you're coming from.
So can you give us an example of what that might be then, something you'd be talking about as part of the, you know, you should introduce this as part of your day-to-day life?
Great question. One of the most simple things is hydration.
Mm.
So hydration is the amount of water, and it's the type of water, and it's the electrolytes that you need in order to hydrate properly. Because when we say hydration, we're not just talking about drinking water or drinking liquids. We're talking about really cellular hydration.
Mm.
So it's the cells actually being able to take in that water. So there is not a human being alive on this planet who won't benefit from adequate hydration.
Mm.
So that's why I can say it's like a catch-all. No matter what, it will benefit you.
Yeah.
There's also, I'd say, less than 1% of people, certainly in the Western world, who actually are adequately hydrated on a cellular level.
Mm.
So that's why I know that that advice is universal, and there's certainly not a single exhausted or fatigued person in the world who is adequately hydrated. There's a direct causal connection. So one of the steps that you learn about in the program is how to hydrate. You know, it's not a simple subject. We could go into it here, but, you know, we could cover hours,
yeah,
which is kind of the point of the program. But how to hydrate is like one of those crucial steps, because without hydration, energy doesn't flow. Water is a little bit like it's got an electrical kind of electromagnetic energy.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're dehydrated, the signals between our cells don't conduct properly. So we just constantly short circuit.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing works properly. And all the organs and glands and systems that relate to the kidneys, which relate to the element of water, which relate to our hydration, start to fail. So that's like the brain and the central nervous system. We stop being able to think clearly. We struggle with memory.
Mm-hmm.
We struggle with focus. It relates to the adrenal glands, so we tend to get far too stressed, you know, stressed for no reason or stressed about small things. It relates to the reproductive system. So, you know, women might have menstrual issues or might have issues of fertility or potency or It relates to the kidneys, which relates to drive and endurance. Mm-hmm. The kidneys relate to the bones and the joints and the tendons and the ligaments. So often people who are low in energy, this type of energy and hydration, will have painful joints, yeah. You know, or osteoporosis, this kind of thing.
It really does affect so much stuff, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So all these things can be thrown out of balance just by being dehydrated. And you think, the good news is, though, that you think you have all these different problems. You're like, oh, I've got a headache and I can't think clearly and I don't have enough energy and my joints hurt and I need to go to the toilet all the time. It's another one, it's the bladder. And you think you have all these problems and you don't. You have one problem.
Yeah.
You have one problem. The problem is that the kidney organ system needs building up. And in fact, you don't have any problems. You have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to start to love and acknowledge and honour and rebuild and nourish and bring the harmony and energy and balance back to your kidney organ system. And when you do, all that other stuff gets resolved at the same time. So even though this sounds quite complicated, it's really about massively simplifying it. Just sweeping away all the symptomology, because that's the traditional kind of Western medical approach, is let's look at one symptom at a time and then isolate it and analyze it and work out what we can do with it. And let's just ignore all that nonsense, go right back to the basics, restore what is truly natural inside the body. And then I'd say, in my experience, 90% of symptomology sorts itself out with clients. And those few bits that don't, then we look and focus on that and we work out what to do about it.
Other things are part of the Easy Exhaustion Cure then, apart from just obviously telling you things to introduce into your life? Obviously there's, you know, teas and blends and things that you recommend as part of that.
So I'd say there's certainly, you know, there's products and there's stuff, you know, some of it's free, of course, like water, that, and there's advice about how to do it and all the rest of it. It's really like a step-by-step thing, so it's what to do, why to do it, how to do it, what cautions are on, all that kind of thing. But other than the kind of substances, you're right, there's definitely other aspects to it as well. And I'd say attitude is a really big one, you know, to really understand this whole thing about energy. Can I give you an example?
Yeah, please do.
So one of them would be like to understand that it's not just an issue of needing more energy. So for most people, when they're low in energy, they think, okay, I need to get more energy. In the same way that most people, if they're low in money, might think, I need to get more money. But just to follow on with the money analogy, most people who are poor who think they need more money, even when they win the lottery, they end up losing it all, or even being worse off, I think the statistic is within something like 4 years. So, and the same holds true for energy. So even if we do those things which we think are going to get us more energy, like raw food or like superfoods or like a detox retreat or whatever it might be, it's not as simple as that. So the distinction which I give as an example is we need to focus on three different things. We need to focus on getting more energy, but we also need to focus on learning to save our energy and store our energy. And we need to focus on learning to expend our energy in a wise way. Now, it's the same with money. You know, if you want to become a millionaire, you can't do it even by winning a million, because you'll just lose it again.
Yeah.
You need to actually learn how to save your money, and you need to learn how to invest it in a way which makes sense.
Yeah, you need the mindset that accompanies it.
Exactly. So I'd say, you know, half of the program maybe is to understand all the stuff.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is actually the psychology. To make that fundamental shift. And psychology sounds a bit wishy-washy or kind of unscientific, but when your psychology shifts, then the level of neurotransmitters and the level of hormones in the body shifts too. You know, it makes a difference in the brain and the central nervous system.
Yeah.
And we get it, and we have a new attitude to things.
Yeah. Do you know the analogy that's just kind of popped into my head? It's that advert that used to be on TV. I don't know if it is anymore, because I don't watch TV, but something like, if you give a man a fish, he'll, you know, eat food, but if you give him a fishing net, then, you know, he'll just catch his own food for life, kind of thing. And it's that kind of thing. Like, you could give somebody energy in a box and then they take it, but if they've not learned actually what to do with that, then, you know, that's not going to help them in the long term. Is that basically what you're saying?
Brilliant. Perfect analogy. Yeah, that's really good. Exactly right. So I guess what I wanted to do with this program is to give you a net. You know, not just say, okay, do this and you'll have more energy, but actually explain how to get onto a different track altogether,
yeah.
Which is, yeah, absolutely, just like getting a net and being able to get your own fish.
Okay, so you mentioned having that would think, well, you know, this would be a useful thing to have, like candida or, you know, joint aches or whatever. Does somebody actually have to have problems to benefit from this program?
Great question. No is basically the answer. I mean, I'm still doing 99% all the steps on there. And, you know, the reason for that is because you can never have too much reserve energy. You can definitely have too much energy, you know. You can be, like, all jittery and nervous and all over the place and kind of probably how I sound a bit now because I'm quite excited to talk with you. But, you know,
I've experienced that a few times and I've had too much chocolate.
Definitely. Yeah, it's possible to have too much energy. And, in fact, that's an example of step three. That's expending energy unwisely. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things we want to nip in the bud. And chocolate, for some people, though not all, it tends to overstimulate the heart and lead us to expend more energy than would be wise. So that's like an example of it. But for everyone, it's possible to have too much energy, it's possible to have too much nervous energy, but it's not possible to have too much energy in reserve. So maybe I should explain a little bit about what reserve energy is. Would that be interesting?
Yeah, definitely.
So you've got like your two types of energy we'll talk about in this interview, I think. And this is a distinction made by the ancient Taoists, kind of discovered at least 5,000 years ago. That's how far documents go back. That we have these two types of energy. One of them is our everyday energy. Mm. And our everyday energy basically comes from the air we breathe and the food we eat.
Yep.
And then there's our reserve energy. And our reserve energy is stored in the kidney organ system. And that's what we would tend to refer to as variously adrenal energy, sexual energy, willpower kind of energy, or adaptive energy.
Right.
So like Charles Darwin, for instance, the evolutionary originator said that a species is most likely to survive not if they're bigger, stronger, faster, more clever, etc., but when they're more adaptive, they're more able to adapt to the environment.
Yeah.
And the level of ability to adapt is related to our ability to survive. So that's the kind of energy we're talking about. Now, everyone is born with a different level of that adaptive energy. Some people are just lucky, and that's why some people can eat burgers and drink 10 pints a day and work 16 hours a day and get up the next morning and then go and do football practice and feel okay. And the next person's like, oh God, you know, I don't have my green juice, I just feel like I'm going to die, you know. That's because life isn't fair. And that first one has been given a lot more adaptive energy basically by their parents. And they're just lucky. Except for, you could say on the other hand, they're not lucky because in the same way that a child of a millionaire never really has to learn and in fact ends up being kind of spoiled and dependent, so someone who's lucky with energy might not necessarily actually be in the better off after all, because normally by the time their energy runs out, which is normally like mid-50s, it's too late because they're too stuck in their ways. And then they literally kind of bury themselves alive with their lifestyle choices. So in a way, if you kind of crash early like I did in your mid-20s or even earlier, you are kind of lucky because you have to learn a better way. And that way that you learn is sustainable, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this reserve energy, we're all born with a certain amount, and then we all get through it at a different rate. That's the other thing. So someone who has a lot of stimulants, someone who has a lot of stress, someone who overeats, and someone who, for want of a better word, has a lot of reproductive activity. So for men, that's frequent ejaculation.
Mm-hmm.
For women, that's pregnancy and breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that drain it. All those activities, like just a very general overview, drain this reserve energy.
Yeah.
So the more, you know, so if you're like a stressed, chain-smoking single mother of 10, you're more likely to burn through it than you are if, you know, you're a yogi who lives up on a mountain and,
yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're going through it at different rates. Taoists are kind of a little bit torn about this as to whether it's even possible to replace the energy. Some of them say it's not possible. All you can do is learn to like be more efficient of it. Some of them say that it is possible to replace it. And, you know, my experience has shown me that the latter are actually correct.
Okay.
They're the ones who were really into longevity or even being immortal, you know. There's lots of stories from going back thousands of years of people, you know, having supernatural like abilities and kind of the vestiges of that we still see, like the Shaolin monks who can, like, you know, walk on volcanic lava or break, you know, a whole stack of bricks with their hands. They're people who basically learn to cultivate this energy, which they call Jing.
Yeah.
They've learned to cultivate it to the point where they have buckets of it. And when your bucket's a bit, you can kind of do all that kind of supernatural stuff with it if you want to. Or you like healing people, you know, where you can heal them just by touching them, all that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
All that comes down to jing. All that comes down to this reserve energy. So to answer your question from a long time ago, yeah, even if you are already happy, healthy, have lots of energy, there's always another level to get to. So maybe you might not be, you might not want to like use the martial aspect of it. So there's a type of martial arts called empty force where you can, you know, kill someone without touching them, or you can throw them across the room just using your energy.
Wow, and, that would be awesome. I don't want to kill anybody. I'd probably like to throw my husband across the room.
Yeah, I mean, it's called empty force, you know, and you can learn to do that, and, you know, 7 or 8 years of daily practice later, sure enough, you'll be able to do it, and I've known a couple of people who can, but I don't know if it's necessarily a worthwhile thing to do with it. The other thing is the healing thing, of course, and perhaps you've heard stories about people can just kind of instantly heal people, and again, that's the way to use that energy. And there are many other things to do with it, like those are the two traditional ways that, like, they've gone back thousands of years in China, but that's there's also creative energy, you know, being able to create the most incredible things. If you've ever read or come across Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, where he talked with and interviewed all the most successful people in the world for, you know, 20 or 30 years, and then came up with this distillation, one of the essential steps in there was what he called sexual transmutation. And another way of saying that is to use this energy that I'm now talking about, not for just reproduction and, you know, just surviving, but actually using it to create. And what he was saying is that all the most successful businessmen in the world, whether they created business or inventions or products, whatever it might be, they used this energy rather than just wasting it. They used it and rechanneled it in order to achieve extraordinary things. So I'd say really, you know, whether you're someone who's just absolutely at the pits of, like, despair of lack of energy like I was 5 years ago, or whether you're someone who's like, no, I'm feeling the best ever and I just want to, like, grow and contribute as much as possible to the world. In either case, you benefit a lot from the content of the program.
Yeah. I think I probably fall into the latter. I mean, I certainly don't feel that I'm lacking in energy in any way whatsoever, but I do quite like the sound of having more energy. I guess you can never have too much.
No.
Yeah.
No, you can have too much of the everyday energy, I think, and that's where people do start to kind of overwhelm themselves and other people.
Mm.
But you can never have too much of the reserves.
Yeah. Mm. Excellent. So how long does the program last then?
Great question. So it's the 90-day program.
Right.
And I guarantee, I'm not allowed to guarantee it anymore because of my payment processes, but in reality I guarantee, you know, if after 90 days you don't experience significant benefits, then you can have your money back. You know, totally, no questions asked. You know, no proof required. Just I'll give it to you just because you said so. Because I, you know, and so far not a single person has even intimated the possibility, because everyone gets significant benefit from doing it. You know,
how quickly can you expect to see, you know, some sort of improvement?
Great question. Yeah, great question. Well, the reason that it's a 90-day program is because it does depend a lot. And I'd say for some people it's very, very quick.
Mm.
So they'll notice a few days later that they don't need their morning coffee anymore. You know, they can just get into the day and really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Or they feel naturally inclined to eat better, or they're doing all that stuff that they've been avoiding and procrastinating about for days, weeks, months or years, and all that kind of thing. So that's great, you know.
Mm.
But for some people who are very drained and very up against it in their everyday life, it can take a while.
Yeah.
Some people, you know, in my experience, can take up to about 2 months. But if you diligently follow through, you know, no matter how drained you are for those 2 months, and when I say diligently follow through, it's not like a full-time job, you know, we're talking about like a 10 minutes of extra stuff to do a day,
yeah,
then you will notice that significant shift. And yeah, so it's not a lot to do, you know, so there's nothing that you must not do, which is normally a deal breaker for a lot of people. So you can carry on doing all the other stuff that you want to do.
Mm.
You can carry on eating meat and smoking and whatever you want. That's okay. You know, seriously, you'll still get benefit even if you do all that stuff. That's okay.
That's,
you'll feel less inclined to, but you can still carry on doing it.
Yeah.
So it's
that's important to so many people because they just don't want to, well, a lot of people don't want to do something where they feel that they're going to miss out, or, you know, a lot of people say to me, oh, I could never do that because I could never give up this and never give up that. And
yeah.
It's all about giving up something, and it's, you know, focusing on the negative sort of side of things. But if you can tell people that they can still do that and just get more of this good stuff in and it'll make a difference, then I think that'll really appeal to quite a lot of people.
Absolutely. And it had to be that way. That's how I felt about it. I mean, for people like yourself who are like, you know, I've got good energy, but I want to be better, you probably already are following all the things that I say and they're not to do.
Yeah,
that's why you've got the energy.
Maybe not everything. You know, I have like this perfect vision of what my ideal day is, and, you know, I go and collect my spring water and I have my green juice and, you know, I rebound for an hour and I get lots of deep breathing and stuff. But, you know, day to day, everybody's got to kind of, well, you know, everybody's got individual circumstances which will dictate, you know, how far you can take your health program, kind of thing. But
yep.
I mean, the easiest thing for me is, I know I've blogged about this before, but I have tried your cleanse tea, and that just really perks me up, something special. It just, you know, it does give me that energy. And I don't know if the herbs that are in that are similar to what's in your program, but if they are, then I can absolutely vouch for the fact that it does do wonders for your energy.
Oh, thank you so much. It's always so lovely to hear. I'll never get tired of hearing about it.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'd say for the cleanse, so cleanse herbs are not part of this program, because this program is like the basic one.
Okay.
And I'd say the next level after you've built your reserve of energy back up is then to start cleansing and detoxing.
Right.
And I think it's important that you brought it up, because it is another area where people go wrong. A lot of the time they try and cleanse and detox when their reserve energy is still low.
Yeah.
And a lot of people actually feel worse.
Yeah.
Not just during, but afterwards as well. They just don't feel any better, you know.
Yeah.
And the other people around them are like, oh my God, I've had such a big release of emotions and I feel so much better. And then they're like,
yeah.
I feel rough,
yeah,
you know.
It puts a lot of people off as well, because they just, you know, associate feeling bad with the good food or, you know, the healthy program, whatever it was that they were doing. That
yep.
It just kind of has got that negative association then.
That's it, and it can put them off for life. So, you know, I'm really into detoxification and cleansing. I really am. And I've recently, you know, collaborated on creating a program where I talk you through every facet of that step by step. And, you know, I'd love to talk to you about that one at a different time.
Mm-hmm.
So I really do think it's an important thing to do. And I'm sure if that's where you feel the benefits, Emma, then that's because, you know, that's the stage that you're at, which is really relevant for you. And every time you do it a bit, you'll be like, oh, yeah, great, you know, like next level of wonderfulness. But, yeah, I would say for all the people, you know, listening to this who are thinking, oh, you know, is this some kind of cleansing thing? Is this like a healthy food thing where I'm going to feel worse? The answer is no.
Yeah.
You can carry on being as unhealthy as you were before. Just add a few things in. Add some stuff in,
yeah.
You know.
That's awesome. I think loads of people really love that, because that is such a huge thing. I just want to go off on a little bit of a tangent, just because it's kind of come into my head here, but I've
Great.
Been thinking about it more recently, really. I mean, obviously, this kind of information, like you said earlier, it goes back thousands of years, you know, in the East, this has been known for such a long time. Why do you think that it's only really sort of coming out now? You know, I've only really noticed it in the last sort of 6 months, 8 months in the raw food world, all this kind of emphasis on string herbs and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Why now, do you think?
Great question. Well, we need it now more than ever. As to why it's only been the last 6 or 8 months, I can't quite tell you, but I could certainly say why it's been kept secret for thousands of years. So in the reason why I like the Dawa system is because they've got a 5,000-year, as I said, unbroken written lineage of the use of these herbs. Now, does that mean that in North America or South America or Europe or Africa, we haven't been using herbs for thousands of years in this way? No. The difference is that, you know, in the area, probably most of the people listening to this, we have consistently hunted down, persecuted and killed people who were aware of this stuff that we're talking about now. You know, and of course, famous in Europe and North America are the witch hunts. Witches would be the ones who traditionally had that knowledge of these kind of natural, whether it be herbs or spring water or whatever, remedies that really work to help to make people feel better. Because the more that the for want of a better word, you know, the proletariat, the common man, actually knew how to be healthy and full of energy, the more empowered they were. For a human being to be empowered is not in the interests of the elite who rule us. So you know, even conspiracy theories aside, if you just look at, you know, normal politics and socioeconomics, it's not helpful if you're trying to control a large group of people for them to be alive and awake and strong and full of energy.
Yeah.
It's just obvious. So, you know, the understanding of all that stuff has been wiped out. Now, I'd say the Chinese have been slightly more clever about all this. Like, so the Chinese elite took a different approach. They didn't burn their sages and shamans and, you know, herbalists and wise people and all the rest of it. They employed them and gave them very, very, very strict instructions not to share it with anyone other than the elite.
Yeah.
So all this information that you're hearing now from me and from, you know, other people about stuff like Jing, this has been a closely guarded secret on pain of death for thousands of years.
Wow.
In China, reserved only for, you know, the aristocracy and the royalty, and then another separate class for the warrior class, you know, who would have their own kind of herbs and understanding of Jing and how to use it, and then the healer class, who are basically there to serve the elite, and then the priest class. And then everyone else was just kind of left to suffer, and, you know, to a certain degree, maybe like everywhere else in the world, they kind of found their own herbs. But a real understanding of all the energies and all the sort of amazing stuff that we're talking about here, which helps you to not just, like, get by a bit better by being a bit more natural, but really helps you to thrive, which is what we're talking about now.
Yeah.
That's always been in the realm of the elite.
Yeah.
Up until recently. And of course, that's even what's going on now. You know, they're trying to criminalize herbs and they're trying to criminalize nutrition and natural remedies and all the rest of it, because it doesn't work as a tool of social control. So why is it coming out? The basic understanding of energies and Taoism and that sort of thing was really started by Bruce Lee in the 1970s.
Yeah.
He broke the code, and he most of the other stuff, like the Indian stuff, like yoga and Ayurveda and that, had been around for a good 100 years because they kind of betrayed all their oaths for the sake of some money.
Yeah.
Earlier. But the Chinese system was, you know, very, very, very strict in terms of not revealing it to anyone other than those who were initiated into that system. And Bruce Lee came and told us about kind of the secrets about how to apply things like Jing and energies in a martial context.
Yeah.
And then
I didn't know that at all.
Yeah. He, you know, other people, I'm sure, did it, and people will probably contact you saying he wasn't the first, but he's the first person to really popularise it.
Yeah.
He's the first person to bring it out on a big level. And then a man called Mantak Chia did the same thing in the 80s for understanding energy as it relates to sexuality and as it relates to kind of advanced meditation, qigong, energy circulation kind of practices, and really laid it all down for the first time. So we had a complete system for understanding how the energy inside our own body works.
Yeah.
An example of a branch of that understanding is acupuncture, all the meridians in the body and how to manipulate them and all the rest of it. So it's only very recently come into our consciousness in the last few decades that that's even a possibility, because it's been kept in reserve for the elite for thousands of years. And, you know, my suspicion is to why it's shown up in raw food only in the last, I don't know, I mean, as you're saying, it's doing the rounds more and more, but, I mean, I discovered it a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know, two and a bit.
Yeah.
So it's been around for a little while. I think the reason it's creeping...
It's only recently now that you're seeing this kind of stuff on, you know, like raw food websites and things like that, where they're talking about, you know, well, probably reishi was the first thing that kind of came into my consciousness, and all the sort of medicinal mushrooms.
Yep.
It seems like people are now ready to take that to the next level. You know, it's kind of like a move beyond superfoods to real, herbal, wild kind of, you know, tonic herb sort of thing. It's just taking it to the next level, and I guess people are ready for that now.
They are, and I guess, I mean, that's the positive interpretation. And I'd say probably the slightly negative interpretation is other people may have started to become desperate because it wasn't working for them. You know, they were doing the, like, 100% raw food or live food thing and still feeling like they weren't healthy or even feeling worse.
Yeah.
That's happening to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, what do we do? What's the next level?
Yeah. There's so much information out there about what could be happening that's not, you know, not working for you, that you just get so confused. Don't know whether you're coming or going.
Absolutely. And, you know, the role of people like me is I find it easy, and therefore it must be what I'm meant to do, to synthesize all that.
Yeah.
I just get to a bottom line for people and say, okay, you know, this person says this, this person says this. Everyone has a different opinion. Ultimately, it's contextual.
Yeah.
So, for instance, like the fruit versus fat debate, which, you know, never quite ends, or at the moment the meat versus or animal food versus veganism debate, which is kind of raging at the moment. Mm-hmm. And it's always a matter of, you know, they're both right in some ways, they're both wrong in some ways, and largely it's a matter of context.
Yeah.
So if you're in this situation, doing this thing at this particular time, then it's not good for you. And if you're in that other situation, doing that other activity in that other environment, with that other genetic predisposition, with that different type of energy, then it is relevant for you.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just understanding, even though that sounds quite complicated, it's really about getting to know yourself. And when you do, you understand, okay, yeah, so maybe a bit of whey protein is, you know, appropriate for him because his, you know, his liver is strong, so he can cope with all the poisons that come with it, and his kidneys are strong, so he can cope with the animal protein, but he's not digesting very well because his spleen is weak, so it's right for him.
Yeah.
While another person is like, oh, no, their kidneys are weak and their liver can't cope with the toxicity, so whey protein will make him feel sick.
Yeah.
So it's not like, is whey protein good or bad? It's a matter of, where are you coming from?
It's so individual. You could argue about it till the cows come home. But the other thing as well, though, is that, you know, although this stuff is on websites now and you can buy it, it's not always clear, you know, well, I'm not always clear what to do with it. You know, I mean, I've got my reishi mushroom powder and I know that I take a teaspoon of that in a nut milk or whatever. But then you see all these other things and you go, God, well, I don't really know what to do with that. I don't know how much I should take. I don't know what I can mix it with. I don't know what, you know, the side effects might be and all this kind of thing. So I guess having a program where somebody goes, right, well, this is what you need to do and this will help with that, is just so much more helpful than just going on and buying it off a website and, you know, hoping for the best.
Definitely, and it will actually save you a fortune overall.
Mm.
I mean, tonic herbs are pretty safe, too, and it's like reishi. You're not really going to overdose on it, but you could just waste your money.
Yeah.
Like in this particular example, I mean, is that reishi mushroom extract or?
Yeah, extract.
Okay, extract, yeah. I mean, that's absolutely fine. A lot of people, they'll buy like reishi mushroom just straight powder or hoshiwu powder and add it to their superfood smoothie, and I have to explain that will do you absolutely no good whatsoever because you need to actually extract it, right? You need to actually boil it as a tea or you need to buy like an extract. So, yeah, being on with that information, like you say, where you actually know exactly what's what and you're just like, okay, I just do this, until the point, like you said before, where your intuition can kick in. And then you actually know and your body will go, oh, you need two teaspoons of reishi today, not one.
Yeah, it's amazing when it happens. I absolutely love it. that's what I was going to say, another reason why your super smoothie blend is just so fantastic, because there's so much stuff in it. And I know that, I mean, it's just ridiculous how much stuff you put in there. I know that if I bought all of that individually, it would just come to a million billion pounds. And I wouldn't know, you know, how much of this or how much of that. So I just love it. I had some earlier on tonight, and I gave my mum some as well. She's like, oh, that's very nice. to mix it in the nut milk and stuff. But yeah, it's just fabulous. I can't recommend that highly enough to people.
Thank you so much. I must admit, that took me like a year of just almost daily trying to refine it and work a way to actually get all that good stuff in a balance which was like tasted okay, basically, or tastes good, in fact.
Yeah.
Actually does taste good.
Really good. And that's what people want. Well, I mean, that's what I want. I'm really quite a lazy person when it comes to, you know, taking things, making things, whatever. I can't be bothered making recipes. I just, you know, it goes in the blender and that's it kind of thing. A big bag with just everything that I need in it is absolutely ideal for me because I just don't have the patience for, you know, umpteen different products.
Me too. And that's why I created it. Like with all like successful ventures, it was originally born of selfishness and laziness.
Yeah.
I just like, I want to have the best thing possible for me and I want it to be as easy as possible.
Yeah.
And then I realised, oh, let's share it.
Well, keep doing it because it's helpful for me.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad that you enjoyed it and you did a lovely little recipe on your blog.
Yeah, it's fabulous. It just works so well. I mean, I was a bit sort of apprehensive the first time because I thought, oh, there's quite a lot in here. You know, it's not going to kind of meld together. But no, the chocolate's fabulous and nut milks and everything. It's just brilliant. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Anyway, back to the program. Can you tell us a little bit about how you can get your hands on this?
Absolutely. I hope that you'll be willing to put like a link or a banner or something like that on your site.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be absolutely amazing. So if you're listening to this right now, go to www.rawfoodscotland.com and you'll find a banner talking about the easy exhausting cure.
Banner, and also a link on the links page.
Also a link on the link page, and that's amazing. And if you do it that way, then that's really great, because that tells me that Emma sent you.
Yeah.
And I can give her lots of love and hugs for sending you my way. and yeah, I really look forward to seeing you. Like I say, there is no risk. No risk, because if you buy it, if you decide the next day you don't like it, I'll just give you your money back.
Awesome.
If you decide after 90 days that it didn't work for you, I'll give you all your money back. Mm. And you get to keep the program, and you get to keep the bonuses. I mean, we haven't even touched on that. But
tell us more about the bonuses.
Some of the most wonderful people who I love and have immense respect for in the raw food community, and of course, include yourself in that, Emma. have included some amazing bonuses as well, which just a lot of them, each in their own right, is probably worth the cost of the program. And they're just doing it out of the goodness of their heart, really, because they want to share, the love with people. And it's funny when you create something, because on one hand, obviously, you've put a lot of work into it and you want to make some money out of it, because that's exactly, why, that's your role, that's your purpose in this world, and you need to get some kind of feedback from it. You need to get some kind of return from it. And on the other hand, when you create something, you really want as many wonderful people as possible to get their hands in it, because it's good for them.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have put in free bonuses, which if you were to try and buy them yourself, would be worth a lot of money, just because they know how important it is for you. So there's I've put in a couple of free bonuses myself. There's like a brand new day, brand new you, which talks you through how to change habits easily by starting earlier in the day. There's what is an optimal diet, which talks through your optimal foods. So that's kind of my ones. There's your one where you talk about the difficulty when you're trying to eat well and yet your partner doesn't want to. So, you cover that, which is really amazing. And then there's one by Shazzy where she's talking about all the her own process of going through eating a healthier diet and going on to raw food, which is really inspiring. There's Philip McCluskey, who's put in a bonus about a recipe book showing you how to make raw food and healthy food in an easy, simple way, because like we talked about, that's so important, especially for someone who's fatigued or exhausted.
Yeah.
And that's all I can remember off the top of my head. I'm really sorry if I missed you out. But
that's pretty awesome.
Oh, of course, there's my friend Mike Nash, who's put in his book Aggressive Health, which is more for people who are ready for the next level and who are also interested in fitness and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
He's an amazing light in that regard. And, how amazing would it be to get to the point where you have some energy and then to go on to Mike's thing and start looking at taking yourself to peak performance and stuff like that that he talks about. So I'm doing also another throwing in a couple of bonus products by a world leading expert on minerals, explaining why magnesium is so important for health, for energy, for stress, and for relaxation, because funnily enough, the root cause of stress and the root cause of exhaustion are the same thing. A lot of it is due to magnesium depletion, and he also talks about all the minerals that you need when you're fatigued. So as much as I like to think that I know my stuff, I always like to defer to the world's leading experts whenever I can.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I remember off the top of my head. But yeah, there's lots of bonuses in there, lots of fascinating information.
Yeah, I can't wait to get my hands on it, actually. Yeah, they sound really good. You can never have too much energy.
Thank you. You cannot indeed.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Elwyn. You've been an absolute mine of information, and thanks for sharing all of it with us tonight.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Emma. It's been an absolute pleasure. And if you're listening to this, thank you so much for joining us the whole time.
Sure.